Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
You're listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Andy Jacobs.
And this is the H&J Daily with some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. Well, we weren't aware, and I guess you weren't either, unless you play for the team, that England are an over-70s team. They play Wales tomorrow in an international.
That's great.
And we spoke to Ken Pollock, who is the player-manager of the England over-70s. We were also joined by Nick Pete, one half of the Fight Disciples podcast, big boxing expert. Mm. We talked a bit of AJ versus Usyk this weekend, and we had the Canelo Caleb Plant fall out in their press conference. He spoke about that, was very entertaining. And Musrock Wonga joined us, journalist and author. He has co-written a book with our old mate Ian Wright, aimed at the sort of preteen kids market. It's fascinating stuff, and we hope you enjoy that chat with Musa. We had a bit of a chat about various
things. We did,
things.
Yeah, that's exactly
the
right.
The listeners got involved and told us all sorts of stuff, and here it all is. Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Andy.
Yes, good afternoon. We're talking about the Carabao Cup, weren't we? We talk about it later, whether it's worthwhile thing.
Well, no, we did talk about that yesterday.
Did you?
Actually, yeah. Talked about the prospect of maybe in 2024 it not existing in its current format.
Won't be missed. It's so pointless now. It's so much a money-making exercise. It's not about anything but that. It's basically, even the lower league team now, that's why you don't get a lot of giant kiddies, because everybody plays their second team.
Well, you know, until it matters. I just wonder if Pep went off it a bit. Whether it would make teams, because I mean, ultimately, I did feel when Tottenham got there last year. I mean, you've always got a puncher's chance on the day. When Tottenham got there last year, the likelihood was that City would put out a full strength team and win, and that's exactly what happened. So all the time, I mean, I'm not in a lot of ways. It does the service great. It does the competition great credit, because he does treat it with respect, and I'm sure the people at Carabao and the Football League absolutely love that. But if you know ultimately. I mean, look, Birmingham Arsenals do happen. But if you were Birmingham now, you got to the final and you were faced with De Bruyne, Foden and Grealish, you probably wouldn't fancy your chances,
no,
would you?
No, you wouldn't. It's just, it's one cup too many. We don't need it, really. And it was a good though last night. Gareth Ainsworth with Pep at the end. I'm sure Pep said to him, "Can I have some of your hair?" He seemed to be gesturing.
Do you think Pep would say that? Can I have some? An old school gag, isn't it?
Yeah, I think he would. Yeah. His after-match interviews are always sort of like, you're sort of supposed to feel sorry for him, you know? He says, you know, about the players who are not fit and who Kevin De Bruyne is getting games because he needs it. We need him. You know, you think, oh, shut up. You're not managing Tranmere or something. Are you? Honestly, it's ridiculous. He really is. What was I going to say?
You moan about injuries, though, didn't you? You've got a pretty deep squad and you still have a bit of a moan
depends,
about injuries.
Depends who's injured.
Yeah.
And
you're not sure. You're a Sal. You're wondering when we're going to see him again. Do you think he'll turn out tonight, Sal Niguez?
Well, it'd be interesting if he doesn't. I think they've got a problem.
Yeah.
I mean, was a sort of debut that would put a manager off forever, I think.
You're questioning whether he'll ever play for Chelsea again. That's amazing.
Well, it was so bad.
Yeah.
You know, we'll see.
Imagine if he didn't. Imagine that's
all
you got.
You think to yourself,
it's like George Weir's
Why did Simeone go off
him? It is him, isn't it? Have you checked?
Exactly.
It was definitely
him. There must be a reason. Atletico wouldn't let him go. He was brilliant 2 years ago. So there's something's gone on there. But we'll see. We'll see. I mean, it won't be great because we're playing Villa again. So it's like a sort of
Writing a player off after 45 minutes in a completely new league.
I'm not writing him off. I'm just saying I wonder if the manager might do it. You know, it's possible. although, to be fair, I watched the Carabao goals show last night on Sky. It was quite fun, you know. But
there was a lot of goals.
A lot of goals, but there were just no upsets, really. This is a good fact from the Daily Star today. Fact of the day. The world's hardest punch was thrown by MMA fighter Francis Ngannou. It measured 129,161 units.
Yeah.
It's a really mad statistic there. You think, oh, yes, of course it did. And it's equivalent, though, this will help you, to being hit by a 12-pound sledgehammer. It's quite a punch.
Which I'd isn't say. Mark West of Queensbury, well, then again, neither's MMA, is it? No. Now, Andy, can I interest you in a double bed, an L-shaped sofa, a circular glass table and four dining table chairs?
Yes, you can, as long as they belong to Matt Ryan.
They do. They do belong to Matt Ryan, the former Brighton Hove Albion goalkeeper who's on his way to Spain. And obviously he can't take them with him, or he doesn't want to. They're currently in storage. I can tell you, because Matt's been advertising them, they've been kept in good condition. They're currently in storage. He's left a contact email, so if anybody is interested in that little setup, if you've just got to move it into a new flat, it may be, or you know, student. Digs, I don't know. You're sleeping on Matt Ryan's bed by osmosis.
I mean,
there is
a case
goalkeeper.
For him. He could have given it away, I suppose.
He can do what he likes.
But he can do what he likes. But I love the way they said his tatty old furniture to make a sort of contrast. But it doesn't look that tatty.
They said Prem goalie Matt flogs tat online. You think, well, it's only because it rhymes with Matt. You wouldn't have done that otherwise, but would
you? Have you noticed that? No piece can appear in a newspaper now without the obligatory social media quote to kind of validate it.
No, that's right.
And in this one, it was a post sparked a fan's backlash. It was Gujon Arsenal Christensen.
Probably not his real name.
Honestly, he's got a lot of soul, old Gujon.
He certainly has.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, Gujon said, mate, you earn 50k a week and you're selling your furniture. You can do what he likes, Gujon. Yeah. You'll be careful. You might get battered by him at some point. So anyway, the reason we bring this up is sometimes, probably not as much these days. I mean, the likelihood, I don't know, of you buying a cyborg from Kevin De Bruyne is, I mean, it's unlikely. Isn't
it's unlikely, really.
You just
really,
chuck it in a skip or give it away. But I just wondered, over the years, have you bought anything from the stars? And it would be the bigger the star and the kind of least likely item. So if you haven't bought anything...
We're so grateful to Kevin for selling his cyborg.
Yeah, if you have bought anything from the stars, please do let us know. Talksport.com/H&J, text to 81089 or tweet to TSH&J. You could be eyeing a piece of furniture in your place, or maybe your mum and dad had stand Matthew's old wardrobe. I don't know, your old nan. Your nan had Dixie Dean's. He wouldn't have had a coffee table, would he?
Dixie Dean.
His old bath, his old tin bath that he had.
He didn't have a coffee
he'd
table.
Put in front of the fire. Trevor Brooking's old onyx table. I remember once there was an at home with Trevor Brooking.
Full of onyx.
And it was full of onyx, yeah. That was in the sort of 70s. People loved these kind of hard, jagged...
Yeah, my parents had quite a lot of onyx...
Hard, jagged, like you'd have a big cigarette lighter.
Cigarette, yeah, we had it on.
Size of AJ's fist, you know. Yeah. And it was all jagged edges. You could take someone's eye out with it. But
Or deliver a punch worth 129,000 points on
so
the
So Trevor Brooking's
scale.
World of Onyx, which was good. The other thing was, I was just reading a story today. A silver pocket watch once owned by Oliver Cromwell was up for sale, 180 grand. And I don't know, it just reminded me of one of those sort of sayings. You know, he had a face like Cromwell's watch. I mean, it doesn't make any sense. I love those ones. I used to play with a bass player, Dave, and he used to say, what's the matter with you? You've got eyes like a robber's horse.
Yes.
I told you, I'd never worked it out. No. But I've still used it to this day.
I know. What does it mean?
It's like, pass it on like the monkey's paw. It means absolutely nothing at all, but it sounds like it does. If you've got any more of those, there must be someone in the family who's done stuff like that. Yeah, so face like Cromwell's watch. Eyes like a robber's horse. If there's any of those in circulation, you can share those with the class. Talksport.com, text 81089, tweet TSH&J. Dave, the Wickham fan, says, I was in the Townley pub outside the Etihad last night before the game. I was on Twitter as the teams were released. An old City fan sat at the bar, looked over my shoulder at the City team and patted me on the back and said, unlucky, son. Hadn't even kicked off. But, Dave, you knew. I mean, you were going for the experience, really. You weren't expecting it.
Apparently, they put up a good show.
They
did. We're going to talk about the Usyk Anthony Joshua fight later, but both papers, The Star and The Sun, had a piece about the fact that Usyk's been watching Peaky Blinders.
Yeah, yeah.
And they both decided to mock him up. The Sun's mock-up's pretty good.
Yeah.
But I do love a terrible Photoshop. Look at the Daily Star. That's a bad They've not, that's not their, even trying,
they've
is
not
it?
Put their back into that, have they,
rubbish,
really?
Really?
Looks like Bagger Vance, doesn't he? Doesn't even look like Peaky Blinders. Not even the right hat.
Not the right hat. Never mind.
Okay, well, get in touch. Talksport.com. Text 81089. Tweet TSHNJ.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/comedy ad free. That's Amazon.com/comedy ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
You've been telling us about, this is from Darren, the Arsenal fan. He said, I was watching my son's USA college soccer game last night and the commentator was full of sayings. A few of the highlights. Well, I like this guy. Once you've heard what he says, I think we should get it okay. Over. The defender has got the driver out and hit it down the fairway. He was describing a clearance. After a defender made a mistake and then won the ball back, he described it as, he has made a spillage in aisle four and cleaned up himself.
Yeah, that's quite good.
This guy's good. Let's get him on. Let's get him on TalkSport. Anyway, you can keep those coming. TalkSport.com, text 81089, tweet TSHNJ. I once bought Chris Evans' table tennis table, says Tim from London. That's the best I've got. That's not bad.
Tremendous.
I've heard worse. Matt Ryan selling a coffee table and a sofa and a bed, the old Brighton keeper. So, what did you buy from the stars? Do let us know. TalkSport.com, text 81089, tweet to TSHNJ.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Good afternoon, Paul Hawksby, Andy Jacobs here on TalkSport. Well, you won't need telling us, a huge fight at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium this weekend. We'll be chatting about that shortly. But you may have also seen, there's a bit of a fallout in the press conference between Canelo Alvarez and Caleb Plant a little bit earlier on. Punches thrown, some pretty strong words. Also, both fighters throwing those at each other. Some might say libelous.
Unedifying, I think.
Well, I mean, let's chat now to one half of the Fight Disciples, the excellent podcast with Adam Catterall. It's Nick Pete. Hi, Nick.
Afternoon, gents. Okay.
Yeah, good. Thanks. Thank you. Yeah, so I suppose, did that shock you? I saw one or two of American writers today in light of that little dust-up saying they'd never seen anything like it.
Yeah, it was, these guys have had a little bit of a spat coming into it, but it's been so drawn out, this fight actually happening. You know, let's bear in mind here that Canelo Alvarez is trying to unify the super middleweight division the first time it's ever been done. He's trying to add all four belts. He's got one more to go against Caleb Plant. So we knew there was going to be a bit of needle, but I don't think anybody expected them to start throwing punches at one another. And then, you know, I think for me, the highlight was even afterwards when they got on a microphone and Caleb Plant started to verbally attack Canelo and verbally attack his head coach, Eddie Reynoso, for the number of PED failures that camp suffered in the last couple of years. So lots going into this fight, and we're still 2 months away from the official first punch being thrown.
Yeah, he called him, he said, you're a drug cheat, didn't he? He just openly threw that at him.
He sure did. You know, I think the reason being, Oscar Valdez, who was Canelo's teammate, he failed a drug test last month and despicably only in boxing. the governing body, the WBC, brushed it under the carpet and allowed him to fight anyway, even though he'd failed, on the VADA test list. So, and that's the third failed test, including Canelo's own clenbuterol test from 2019. That camp has suffered in the last 3 years. So, as I say, there was plenty for him to go at there, and it's unfortunately it's the state of boxing at the moment. I've got to agree with him. You know, why should one camp be allowed to do whatever they like? But apparently they do.
And it is a shadow over Canelo, who's got a great reputation and is a great fighter, isn't he?
He's the number one, pound for pound, best boxer on the planet today. You know, there's no doubt about that. He's the biggest star in the sport. He sells more pay-per-views than anybody else. He truly is the biggest star in boxing. But, you know, a failed clenbuterol test, and we know that Mexico has had an issue in the past. The Mexican football team all failed for the same thing, and it is something that is found in contaminated meat. But the fact that he failed two tests as A and as B sample and then was, you know, suspended for 6 months, that was obviously an absolute slap on the wrist. But for me, that's still a failure. So, yes, there should always be an asterisk next to anybody's name that fails a drug test, especially in fight sports, because it's not cycling, it's not athletics. This is a sport where you are actually physically trying to harm your opponent. So, yeah.
I mean, psychologically, from Caleb Plant's point of view, he swings at Canelo and he seems to dodge the punch. Now, I just wonder how he feels about it. Well, if he can dodge it when it's a cheap shot and he's not expecting it, what chance have I got when he knows it's coming?
Is that the truth? You know, you throw a shot at a man in a pair of chinos and a pair of loafers, and he slips out the way and then hits you back with a 1-2 and cuts your eye open. It doesn't bode well for when he's actually expecting a punch, does it? But listen, that's why Canelo's the best on the planet. He's so quick, he's so elusive, and he hits you back with two punches before you even know it. So you had a kind of feel for Caleb Plant. While I champion him for verbally going after Canelo and his head coach, I also feel sorry for him, because there's an element here of prodding the monster, and I've got a feeling in 2 months' time he's going to pay the price for yesterday.
Yeah, well, it won't harm the pay-per-view or what happened earlier on anyway. So the fight this weekend, Nick, looking at some of your tweets, you have some concerns for AJ, don't you?
Listen, I don't think it necessarily concerns for AJ. I'm just more aware of the fact that this guy is legit. You know, we're talking about Alexander Usyk at the peak of his powers. This is not, you know, Vladimir Klitschko, who's 2 years removed from being beat up by Tyson Fury in Germany and being out of the ring. And it's not this cavalcade of opponents that, listen, these are the top 20 heavyweights in the world, and pretty much AJ's run through them all. But with all due respect, they're only top 20 in the world in this era. They certainly wouldn't be in any other era. And listen, you can't blame AJ for that. He can only beat the man in front of him. But what I'm saying is there's only a handful of opponents out there that I would match alongside Anthony Joshua, or let's say is a big threat to Anthony Joshua. Fury's one. Wilder, of course, with his power. I think Dillian White, with the way he's come back after losing to Joshua, is absolutely in the mix. And the fifth man for me, categorically, is the former undisputed cruiserweight champion of the world, Alexander Usyk. He's fast, he's elusive, he's strong, he's incredible at mind games, and he's a patient fighter. And he'll know, like we all know, after watching AJ so many times and supporting him so many times, at some stage in the fight, AJ will run out of gas. He will hit a wall, and he will have to push through that wall. It happens in every one of his fights because he's so big and so muscular. Usyk will be waiting. If he can capitalise then,
will he still be there, though? I mean, he's got a lot more power than him, hasn't he?
Nick, you were making the point that he's not finished the fight in the first five rounds for some time, has he?
No, he hasn't. It's been a long time since AJ pulled the trigger early on. Now, listen, I get it. It adds longevity. Look at Lennox Lewis's career and even Klitschko's career. All the great big heavyweights, which is what AJ is. You know, they get to a point in their career where they start realising that they can work behind the jab, soften up an opponent for 6 or 7 rounds and then take them out. But that's a big gamble against someone like Usyk that is lying in wait. I think pouncing on Usyk, jumping on him, going back to the old AJ, letting leather fly early, putting him into uncomfortable positions. We've seen it against Derek Chisora. Derek Chisora, for 2 or 3 rounds, had Usyk, I wouldn't say in trouble, but he was certainly on the back foot and taking shots. If AJ does that, AJ is a much bigger finisher and a much faster puncher than Derek Chisora. I think he could shock the world. For me, if he was to stop Usyk inside 6 rounds, and I think that is the logical game plan to just go for it, I think it would be the best win of AJ's career. It would be absolutely sensational. I think if he lies in wait and patiently tries to work for a points decision, that's risky because Usyk will be waiting when it gets to the deep waters.
Yeah, very interesting. He signed a new deal finally with Matchroom yesterday, which probably doesn't mean a great deal to the average boxing fan. The only effect,
it's where he appears.
It's where he appears next. Does he say with Sky? Does he move to DAZN, where most of the Matchroom fighters are having their fights? I mean, that has a knock-on effect for the paying punter, isn't it?
Of course, you know, but, you know, Eddie Hearn has moved and jumped ship entirely to DAZN, and he's adamant that the eyeballs will come with him. Right now, it's difficult to see that. You know, it's only really hardcore boxing fans that have made the leap, even though it's only, I think it's $7.99 a month now. But still, you know, it's not like they can advertise it after Jordan Premier League games and people will stick around like they did and can do on Sky Sports. But to get people to subscribe, to get people to move over in waves over to DAZN, the biggest fighters in the world have got to be there. Canelo's there already. AJ is an essential part of that building process. So I do think this will be AJ's last ever fight on Sky Sports. I think he will go over to DAZN as part of this career-long deal. And I tell you what, I haven't seen the contract, boys, but I bet there's a few zeros on that one.
Yeah, absolutely. And at that point you make there about, you know, showing it in other sports to get people to buy the pay-per-view, looks like DAZN are trying to address that at the moment. They're interested in BT's football business, we read.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I'm fortunate enough to, you know, I do some work with DAZN. We do some work at the moment on UFC over at BT Sport as well. They've got some incredible people working behind the scenes over there. And it does seem to be the logical step for DAZN to buy that channel, to take on the Premier League and Champions League and UFC contracts, which obviously bring in huge eyeballs, and then merge, you know, Eddie Hearn's boxing program across that channel, whether they re-present it as DAZN or they leave it as BT or whatever it may be. But there is an interesting conversation coming up there, of course, because Frank Warren has an exclusive boxing deal with BT Sport. So it's going to be a strange few months if that deal does indeed go ahead.
Indeed, yeah. I'm going to put you on the spot finally, Nick. What happens Saturday? Who wins and in what round?
Listen, from a British perspective, for me, I just want to hear that final bell. I think if we get to the final bell, I think AJ will have won enough rounds early in the fight, and I think he may have to pick himself up off the floor down the stretch, but I think as long as we get to that final bell, I think AJ can do it on points. But 7, 8, 9, 10, I will be behind the sofa, absolutely terrified, because I know at some stage Usyk is going to have a good go.
Excellent. Go, you whet their appetite. Cheers, Nick. Good to talk to you.
Cheers, boys.
Here we are, Nick Peake, co-host of the Fight Disciples with Adam Cattrall. And we'll have a fight night show for you Saturday evening, and obviously the undercard, and keep a close eye on all the events at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium.
Where does it leave Fury Joshua if he loses and then Fury loses to...
Well, that's the whole point. The thing is, who were we talking to about that? We were talking to someone in the world of boxing about that, and they said, well, you'd still want to see that fight, wouldn't you, even if they both lost? And
we said, well, probably, yes, we would, but it wouldn't quite be the same.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you've got, you know, there's the boxing politics that gets in the way of that, but if people want to see a fight and they want to get the fight made, they'd probably still get it made. But yeah, it would muddy the waters, definitely. Anyway, as we said, a boxing show Saturday evening here on Talk Sport.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Things you've bought from the stars. One or two, I think, are clearly made up, but one or two have a semblance of truth in them. This one would be hard to make up. My old man used to service her car. When she passed away, the late, great Bella Emberg of Russ Abbott, Blunderwoman fame, left my dad her green Hyundai Accent.
Did
it? What a night in the will. And
that's
I bequeathed
nice
my Hyundai Accent. Yeah, very nice story. Thank you very much for that one. We had another corker as well. Someone who, what about this? My dad in 1963 was walking through Preston Church Street when he was secretary of a local club and bumped into Tom Finney. Tom said he was selling his house in Regent Drive, the house he lived in when he played. My dad agreed a price, shook hands, and we moved in 2 months later.
That's good.
Ralph in Preston. That's fantastic. Blue plaque you need there.
I've always wanted to, when he was alive, Tom Finney, to drive past him and shout. You know when you drive through a puddle and you shower him, like that famous photo of him in playing, and they did the statue of that as well. Well, it wouldn't have been fair to do that.
We should maybe speak to someone now who possibly saw Tom play. I don't know. This is the England over 70s football team. Our old friend Paul Jiggins alerted us to this yesterday and wrote about it in the Sun today. I had no idea we had an over 70s side, but I'm very glad we do. And they take on Wales tomorrow. And joining us now to tell us a little bit more about it is the player-manager of England over 70s, Ken Pollock. Good afternoon, Ken.
Yeah, good afternoon.
Yeah, well, this is good news. I mean, really pleased to hear that you guys are still turning out at 70 years old.
And we should say this is a clear thing that it isn't walking football.
No,
this is proper football.
No, that's right. It's association rules football, 90 minutes. It's a pretty, you know, it's I think we've got 16 guys tomorrow, and you know, they'll all get a run out. It's, as I say, it is what it says. It's normal football.
How long have you been involved with this sort of England vet setup then, Ken?
Yeah, since about the last 10 years. About the last 10 years. We started off with the 60s, and that got going. We've got the 50s, 55s, 60s, 65s, and now 70s. And you know, it's been going for a number of years now, and with a lot of success, really. We play home, the 50s, 65s, 60s all play home internationals against all the countries. And it's grown and grown. I think there's about 1,000 people involved with it now. It really has taken off. It's fantastic.
I was going to say, was it difficult to get recognition from the FA initially or not?
Well, I think it's like a lot of these things, you know, I mean... It's a good question, but all these things. I mean, even the FA itself, when it set up, in 1863, I think it was, you know, they had a meeting in a pub, and the world didn't turn around and say, "Oh, you know, we've got a set of rules, set of laws here. Let's everybody in the world start playing football." It grew, and it's no different with us. But be perfectly honest, it's no different with us. It's gradually sort of got bigger and bigger. The FA are certainly on board. In fact, it's the FA that sort of give out the press release. So, you know, it's just growing and growing and getting more and more, more and support from lots of different quarters. To be perfectly honest,
excellent.
Yeah, and of course, representing your country at any stage has got to be a wonderful thing. There's in the feature today in the Sun, John Shannon Jr. is featured with his dad, John Shannon Senior, who's 104. I mean.
Yeah. That's John Shannon Senior. John,
But I did have this idea that, you know, you always see this thing with unruly parents are sort of off by the match officials for sort of overly encouraging their kids. It'd be great if that happened to John Shannon Senior.
It's great though when dads come and watch their kids play, even when they're under four. It's lovely, isn't it?
Yeah, it's beautiful, isn't it? I mean, it's the gag. The gag is his father still saying, "You still don't play that ball with your left foot, like I told you."
Yeah, of course.
You know, but Dad, I'm 79. Yeah. Don't give me that. It's great to see him there.
Absolutely.
Have most of the guys kept playing? Because I think that's probably the key to it, isn't it? If you give it up, it must be hard to take it up again.
Yeah, that's right. I think one of the reasons we're so keen to push it, really, is a lot of players get to that 30, 40s age, don't they? They sort of say, "Oh, I'm a bit too old for football now, and, you know, perhaps I'll pack it up and da-di-da." And really, you know, what I'm hoping is that the different groups that are still playing, you know, tell people, say to people, you know, "Come on, guys, keep it going. And it's doing you good. It's doing you, you know, lots of good, obviously, health-wise. And it's doing fantastic health-wise advantages for continuing to play, as well as the social advantages." And I think that's what we're trying to do, is to sort of encourage guys to keep at it, boys.
Are there any ex-pros in the setup at all, Kem?
Yeah, Graham Collier is. I think he's an ex. He's funny. He's not playing in the game because he's on holiday. But he's ex. He's one of Cluffy's boys.
Oh, wow.
And certainly we've got a few. Tony Drinkle, who played for Lincoln for a number of years. I mean, we've got quite a few boys who have played pro, semi-pro. But of course, the thing is, as you know, I'm sure you know. Just because the guys can do it at 23, it doesn't mean so they can do it at 63. And age is a sort of great leveller. And also, of course, the football in the old days, I mean, it was a tough school. I mean, for the pros in the old days, it was a tough school. You know, the heavy balls, the hard tackling, you know, the heavy pitches. You know, it wasn't easy for them. And it's not surprising, you know, that not everybody's sort of, you know, still playing on a regular basis.
Are there teams outside of the home nations? Have you taken, I don't know, South American or other European teams?
Yeah, no, I think that's one of the things we're pushing for. Certainly in terms of the age categories. I mean, there has been vets football played abroad, but not under the age category format. Because what's happening here is that, you know, the FA have the under 16s, under 17, under 18, under 19, under 20, and under 21s, and then he goes to the senior team. you know, and then with the format 50s, 55s, 60s, 65s and 70s, there is a sort of pattern going through there. And that is not that that latter pattern is not being replicated abroad. But, you know, we set up the laws in the first place. So it's, I guess it's not too surprising that we're innovating. You know, we're still innovating.
Now, a lot of teams have a sort of animal mascot.
Yeah.
So I think this team should have the Galapagos turtle.
You know, Galapagos.
Yeah, Galapagos. They live, you know, yeah. They live to about 180, don't they?
I think they do. Yeah, yeah, yeah. They should have one.
Yeah, that's brilliant. Yeah, absolutely.
Gary,
yeah,
we'll the Galapagos turtle. He could come on, take the half hour, come onto the pitch, couldn't he? Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
I don't know who's playing for.
Well, the man of the match, you know, he gets the defibrillator.
Oh, yeah. It's getting dark now, Ken. It's getting dark.
And a magnet of synatogen.
Yes, it could be, yeah. You should have that on the front of your shirts. I don't know who's playing for Wales tomorrow, but I occasionally see the great Cliff Jones, former Spurs and Wales winger.
Cliff could play.
Cliff could turn out. He still looks very fit. So I don't know if he'll turn out tomorrow at 86. But have you know who's in the Wales team?
I'm not too sure. We got a few. I haven't sort of seen their team sheet. They're keeping it very close to their chest. Mm. But you know, they've certainly got players who've played for a couple of. I know some of their midfielders have played for one of the Bristol teams. You know, on a long term basis. And you know, we've had Dave Golding play for Southend. We've had all sorts of players playing. Who've played good quality football. And As I say, you know, it hasn't always been easy for the pros to keep it going from that generation. It's not been easy for them.
So can people come and watch? Is it St George's, isn't it, the game?
Yeah, it's St George's. But even what also we've got, we've set up, funnily enough, the guy who's setting up is a 79-year-old.
Right.
John Shannon. He set up a live streaming, him and his son-in-law, Owen. They really? Set up a live stream from the... So if people go onto the EVFC Facebook page, they'll find the link there, and they can, if they want to watch it, they can watch it from the comfort of their own home.
When's the kickoff?
That is 2 o'clock tomorrow.
2 o'clock. Okay, fantastic. Brilliant. Well, look, good to talk to you, Ken. All the best. Keep up the good work. It's a great idea, and it's great that the FA
have behind it. You do match reports into the show tomorrow.
We should do. We'll be on at 2. We'll keep an eye on it. We'll keep an eye on the score while we're on air tomorrow, and we'll keep the listeners updated. Here we are. That was that was Ken Pollard. He's got to go and get training, hasn't he? He's got to go and get training. It's Ken Pollard there, the England over-70s player manager. Yeah, we will keep you updated with that game tomorrow after the bit of live sport.
Send Jeff Peters.
Show.
He can do the birthday spread from there.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Good afternoon, Paul Hawksby and Andy Jacobs here on TalkSport. The breaking news in the world of fishing is that Charlie Baker has just caught a couple of knots. He might have bought them and just put them in a net. Yeah, he's just caught a couple of nice looking perch. Hasn't he?
He's
just got two.
No, he fancies a bit of fishing, Charlie.
Well, another one. Look, he's under the bridge somewhere in Oxfordshire. That's all I can tell you. But a couple of perch have come out. They're looking rather good. Looks very pleased with himself.
Oh, well, surprising.
He's back tomorrow, of course. I'm sure he'll be talking us through that, whether we like it or not. You've been telling us this afternoon, as promised, Elton John's old jukebox. I used to work at a carvery in Exeter that spent nearly apparently 100k on getting Elton John's jukebox. It outbid the Savoy to get it, apparently. The thing was, the carvery only cost £7, so it never made any business sense to me, and it didn't match the decor.
That's a strange thing to do.
Imagine that. You have to mortgage the business, right, to get the Elton John seven. You can put your carvery prices up, wouldn't you, really, for the jukebox. Anyway, thank you very much for that. Some of those old sayings as well you've been telling us about. Nice one. My old granddad used to say, an elephant's nest up a rhubarb tree. I think he meant it in association with a kind of futile task. He said, I still use it. That comes from Christopher in Leicestershire. And this is somebody's old nan. My nan used to shout, I've gone out with me hat on, whenever I asked her repeatedly for anything as a kid. I'm now 30 and still haven't got a clue.
What does that mean?
What she was on about. Some of these things just don't need explaining. CJ, thank you for that. The items you bought from the Stars, because this is because Matt Ryan, former Arsenal and Brighton keeper, is having a bit of a sell-off of a double bed, an L-shaped sofa, circular glass table with dining chairs. So if you're interested in those items, apparently get in touch. But just wondering if you bought any items from the Stars. You can tell us that and some of those old sayings you've never quite worked out. Talksport.com, text 81089, tweet TSHNJ.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Paul Hawksby, Andy Jacobs here on TalkSport. Don't forget, 4 o'clock this afternoon, we bring you Drive with Andy Goldstein, and Charlie Austin will be alongside Andy this afternoon, the QPR striker. So, we're going to talk about a new book now. It's a collaboration between our old pal and former colleague Ian Wright and Musa Ogwonga. The book is called Striking Out. It's a fictional tale of a young 13-year-old footballer who's dreaming big, Jerome Jackson, and the people that help him out along the way. It's based, I think, on the life of Wrighty and other footballers, really, of the sort of current era and their upbringings. And here to tell us more about it is Musa Ogwonga. Good afternoon, Musa.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me.
A pleasure. Yeah. It's how did this collaboration come about then?
So it's a couple of things. So Ian and I got to know each other because I do a football podcast, and he came on that a couple of years back, and we kind of just became friends after that interview. We stayed in touch, and then he did the Desert Island Discs interview with BBC, and the response to that was amazing. And so we sat down with Scholastic publishers, and they were talking about maybe like talking about Ian's life story. And we were kind of like, actually, after a bit of discussion, we were like, people kind of know Ian's life story in outline. So if we do a book, we want to go with something a bit more surprising, which is maybe a look at Ian as you know him, as I've got to know him, like, you know, Ian away from the camera, Ian as a dad, a mentor, an uncle, like a father figure. And so we thought of the idea of, why don't we basically introduce Ian as he is now, you know, mid late 50s, into a fictional situation and see how he'd mentor the next Ian Wright, you know, the up and coming kid from, you know, sort of emotionally abusive home background, is trying to make it as a footballer. And that was the kind of concept of the book.
You would, excuse me, I'm just blowing my nose. I do apologise.
At least you're up. You're honest.
It's all good.
It's important to be honest.
I am. You and Wrighty had different backgrounds, but shared experiences, I think.
Yeah, that's right. So, I mean, my mother is a doctor. My father, before he passed away, is a surgeon. So I've got, you know, middle-class background and went to a boarding school. And whereas Ian, you know, Ian had a sort of much tougher sort of path, sort of financially and I think emotionally as well. But the common theme, I think, is that we both, you know, we had absent, my father died when I was 4, and, you know, he didn't really have a reliable father figure as such. And I think we had that in common, and it helped, I think, write the book together from that perspective.
To anybody who did listen to, right, he's very moving, Desert Island Discs. I think, he ultimately does find that person who believes in him and his school teacher. And it's quite sort of bittersweet, this, isn't it? Because Wrighty and some of the other characters of the book are the mentors almost that he wished he had. It's a kind of dream sequence. If Wrighty's life could have been different, then he would have had people looking out for him the way the characters do in the book.
Absolutely. And it's funny because, you know, you've covered football for a long time, both of you, and you hear the story so often with people that make it. They're like, there was always one person. It was always like an uncle or someone that would took me to training, or an aunt. There was always someone. You know, does that make sense? Just looking out for you. And we were almost like, you know, people don't realize the margin between making it and not making it in football is so, so small. It's so small. And we wanted a sense of, you only make it if someone in the community or the community as a whole backs you. So we really wanted to celebrate that, I think, more than anything else in the book.
How easy is it to get kids to engage with a sort of physical book? I mean, we know about TikTok and social media and all that. Are kids still interested in reading a book like this?
You know, it's so funny. I mean, this is a bit, he's going to annoy me for saying it's my friend Martin, based over in Brussels. He dropped me a line and he said, like, the two kids have been reading it tonight, each evening, basically. They're, like, really into it. And I think the thing about books is they offer something different to anything else. They are basically movies inside, you know, movies on paper, basically. And the thing about that is you can take a book at whatever pace you want, which is why I think that people are really keen on them, because they just offer something different. So I'm not bothered about the future of books. I think they still have a very big place in our society. And certainly the reaction we had to this book, I think, proves that too.
And I think young kids are maybe becoming a bit more aware of the backstories of players because, you know, players are putting their head above the parapet, like Marcus Rashford and Raheem Sterling. We hear about their tough backgrounds. We hear their stories. So I think, you know, it won't come as a shock to these kids and it will kind of strike a chord as they read this book.
Absolutely. Well, you look at, I mean, you've got people like YouTube, like Chunks, to thank for that, because they sit down with footballers and really talk about, you know, people like Tammy Abraham, like what's it like to actually be a footballer? Jadon Sancho, like what's it like to kind of come through? What's the academy system like? Mason Mount as well. And we've also, you know, we're lucky. We've got a really, of course, we've had lovely footballers before, don't get me wrong, but this generation of England footballers, I think they're just a really lovely bunch. You just, the more I hear about people that have worked with them up close, they're just good humans, right? And people are open to hear those origin stories because they're really inspiring.
It's the kind of the situation that gets your main character Jerome sort of noticed by Wrighty. He feels quite Wrighty as well, you know. He scores a great goal in the park, doesn't he? And Wrighty's watching the game. Yeah. It does sound like the sort of thing he would do, and then go a bit mad about on the touchline if the kid scored a great goal.
Yeah, absolutely. This is the thing we tried to get, like, you know, all the best things about Ian as well, like the kind of the passion, the celebration, but also the eye for detail. Because the thing about Eden that surprises a lot of people, and this especially Arsene Wenger, Wenger was like, how can someone so passionate be so like cool in front of goal? And I think the thing about Eden that makes him so fascinating is you don't often have people that combine those qualities, right? Like it's a really, he's like on a different end of the spectrum in one human. So when it came to that scene, I was like, Eden, we've got to put you on Hackney Marshes. We've got to put you on Hackney Marshes watching an incredible goal, because I know that if you saw an incredible goal at any level of football, you'd stop and be like, oh my God. Like, we can all imagine Ian doing that.
Of course we can. People love his enthusiasm. And that's what makes him such a great pundit. And we work. He's a really lovely man too. There's no question about that. You both experienced casual racism in football, and in your case, in boarding school. Does that sort of feature in the book too?
Absolutely. I think the two types of racism feature. There's a kind of, I would call casual racism, which is kind of like the ignorance, but there's also the strategic racism, which is the long-term plotting of, I really hate this black person, I'm going to make life miserable for them. And I've experienced that too. Mm. I experienced a really bad example of this. There's a really bad rage of the incident in the book, which is based on an experience of mine, where I got to boarding school and basically a kid that hated me found my dad's Bible. And it was the only I had left of my dad's at that point. And he basically like put it face down in the mud outside the church, knowing I'd see it there. So on my way to church, I see my dad's Bible like in the mud, in the rain, like face down. Because a guy, it was brutal. And this is the kind of the level of racism people sometimes come at you with. And I thought it's really important to show that side of it in the book too, I think.
And is the plan to maybe sort of keep telling the story? Is this book one of a series, you think?
Do you know what? I hope so, because I feel like when you work on a project like this, Jerome had a kind of particular narrative, and I feel like there's more to come from this character, and there's more to come from his community and also from his career. So hopefully there'll be a part two.
And you've probably seen in the news today, Marcus Rashford's use of social media are going to be added to the GCSE media studies curriculum. So kids will be able to say,
that's interesting.
What you got after games, I've got double Rashford. It's great. It is great.
Wish though, I'd had it? Double Rashford.
I think we'd all be.
Can you imagine? Yeah. Swap double chemistry for double Rashford. Sorry, no hate for chemistry, but, you know, more love for Rashford.
No, that's a nice story and a nice development, isn't it? Yeah, that's
a nice endorsement from Trent Alexander-Arnold, but also from Stephen Fry, which is interesting as well in itself.
Oh, that was amazing. Yeah, so Roscoe, who is works with Ian so on the management side, Roscoe called me up at 10:30, and Roscoe doesn't call late. Like, he respects my time. I'm like, it's got to be something serious. And Roscoe's like, I'm going to send you this message and I'm going to call you back. And it was the message from Stephen Fry, who basically read the book and was like, I read it in a single sitting. I loved it. Like, this is going to do really well. And I was just like, wow. Like, because Stephen Fry is like, he's like the final boss, right? He's the final boss of like English culture, literature, public life. So to have his co-sign was really amazing. Yeah.
And good. And finally, film rights. Is Wrighty going to play himself in the film? I mean, just who knows? I mean, probably fancies a bit of Hollywood, doesn't he?
Well, we have the film rights, him and I. We have them together, so we'll decide on it. But I'd love to. I think he's, look, here's the thing, whatever he chooses to do. And this is the thing I tell a lot of people. They're like, what's it like working with Ian? I was like, look, honestly, this person could be an actor if he wanted, a broadcaster. You know, if he'd had a different life, he could have been a barrister. Like, people don't realize how sharp, you know, if you work with. You can give Ian some stats for let's say he's doing like a broadcast or something, he will take the stats and literally, like, in front of millions of people, 5 minutes later, will drop and deploy every stat perfectly in context. Like, the speed of his mind is something people don't often, like, I think, give him credit for, but it's all there with him.
Yeah. Brilliant. Well, the book is out now. It's called Striking Out by Ian Wright and Moosewet Wonga. And you can pick it up in hardback. It's published by Scholastic. Give him our best, Moosa. Good to talk to you. Thanks very much.
Always a pleasure. Thanks for having me. Have a nice week, yeah? Take care.
And you.
Thanks.
Moosewet Wonga there, co-author of the book with Ian Wright. It's excellent. It's sort of pre-teens market, they say. That's if you're looking for a good read. And, you know, if it's a subject that engages kids, even if they're not readers now, it's football and it's relatable and it gets them into reading,
sounds
boys
good.
And girls into reading. Yeah. And maybe they'll start to read other stuff as well, which is no bad thing.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
As Matt Ryan's having a bit of a sell-off, the old Brighton keeper of a few odds and ends before he heads to Spain, a double bed, an L-shaped sofa and a circular glass table and dining table
bit
chairs.
Bit naff, the old circular glass table. It's a bit 70s, isn't it, really?
Well, it depends what it is. Maybe he was putting on a production of Abigail's Party recently. I don't know. The Matt Ryan players were doing it. Yeah, that's quite possible.
Go on.
he was selling that off. So we're looking pre-owned by the Star. This is the corker from Zone. I have in my garage Sir Quinton Blake's old easel.
Sir Quinton Blake's.
You can't call him Quinton Bloke. Sir Quinton Blake's old easel.
Marvellous.
Yes. He explains why. Oh, yeah. He didn't nick it. I was working in his house in Radlett and he was throwing it away. So I said, would you mind if I had that? And he said, no, be my guest. I've never used it and I probably never will. But as he was Roald Dahl's illustrator, I think it might be worth something someday.
Well, that's
so
true.
I'm hanging on to it.
That's very true.
Got a face like Quinton Blake's easel. It's another one of those which fits in. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Lee the Hammer used to like his old mum saying, if you can't fight, wear a big hat. There is some sense to that. Doesn't it? It's, it can make yourself look big, but it is it's one of those sayings.
I'll remember that.
Yeah.
Next time I'm confronted in road rage,
yeah.
I'll get out a top hat.
Yeah, a big 10-gallon hat, like a cartoon Russ Abbott-style hat. Easy says, I got a nice suede sofa in Marbella that belonged to Goldie, the DJ.
That's nice,
beautiful. Okay, pre-owned by the Stars. Keep them coming, talksport.com, text 81089, tweet to...
I bought a car from, I just remember, the people who wrote... what's that with Pauline Collins and John Alderton?
Was it Yes, Honestly?
Honestly.
Oh, yes.
I bought a car from
an old sitcom.
It blew up in Warsaw.
Did it? What sort of car was it, Andy?
It was a Mercedes, one of the little sports Mercedes.
A little Mercedes
Sport, top.
It blew up, did you know? No, he knew you probably didn't put any oil in it.
Well, I think that was the problem.
Well, it was.
Yeah, I think it was, yeah.
They're not high on maintenance. You didn't realise you had to maintain it as well. Just drove it into the ground.
I haven't had a chance to say how disappointed I am with the ECB for not going to Pakistan. I find it so annoying. And on the day when the MCC say, we're dropping the name batsman to batter to make the game more inclusive. That's more inclusive unless you're in Pakistan.
Yeah.
It's pathetic, isn't it, that they can't find 14 cricketers to go out there and repay the favour they did for us. They saved the ECB's backside last summer. You know, it's disgusting that when it's a 4-day tour. I mean, Atherton's seething. So many people are unhappy about it. I don't know how they sleep at night, these people. It's really, really poor. There's no excuse for it.
I fully expected you to feel like that. Of course, we did discuss it yesterday, but yeah, it's not. It's,
you know,
not
we saw that programme
well.
About cricket in Pakistan. We know Wasim Khan really well,
yeah.
The president of the East Pakistan Cricket Board, and I just find it incredibly disappointing. It really is. It's amazing. I saw that Brentford, Fulham and QPR all played at home on the same night, which I refer you to my piece last week that you took the mickey out of me, saying I was angry that Brentford and Chelsea are always scheduled at home on the same weekend.
Yeah. I mean, geographically, as you said, it makes the whole area busy. It does seem quite odd. I mean, Brentford will have more Saturday 3 o'clock kickoffs than Chelsea.
Yeah, but it's difficult.
Guess.
You know, it's all right. I mean, if like Saturday's
fine
because
many,
it's a 12:30 kickoff.
Can't cater for you, Andy, to be fair. There's not many
people
who've got season tickets for both.
I bet there are people who want to go to both.
The Premier League to schedule all their fixtures for 50 people, including you.
Yeah, I think so.
I don't think so.
Fascinating interview with Mark Clattenburg in the Times today. He's got a book out, and it just bears out everything you've ever said about referees. It's such a bitchy.
They're worse than supermodels.
They're all, I mean, basically, you know, I don't know, should we expect it to be a brotherhood? Because everybody's looking to kind of get the best gigs and be the top referee. Yeah. So that does mean there's an element of competition. So there must be an awful lot of schadenfreude, you know, that situation where you see someone make a bit of a rick and you think, oh, I might get the North London Derby, I might get Liverpool Man U next week. So suddenly you're thinking, he might have got that, but he stunk the place out. So Mike might give me a call. So I suppose the whole nature of it, because it is so competitive and everybody's fighting for the best games, but it does, I mean, when I've been in the company of referees before, they kind of take, they're like footballers, they take the mickey out of each other, but there's always a bit of an edge to it. Oh, yeah. You always think, oh,
no,
blimey,
we remember, don't we, when we were at the World Cup and with Howard Webb, another person that Clattenburg doesn't like.
Well,
and he doesn't like Mike, he likes Mike Dean, he doesn't like Mike Riley or David Ellery.
He's gone quite scorched earth, has he?
Oh, yeah. He said Riley is snide and a boring, I can't use the word.
Right, okay. He's not planning
David
to come
Ellery
back,
is
then.
A slippery, sly toff, and these aren't my words, I don't know. But, and Martin Atkinson's capable referee, but a square, apparently.
A square?
Boring and
1972?
But this description of Jurgen Klopp, I mean, this could be any manager. All football managers like this. He said, reaching the top meant engaging with Jurgen Klopp. Brilliant manager, sour loser, strange bloke. I mean, to be fair, what football manager isn't that?
Yeah, really. It'll be a sort of hint of the strange about them all, really, to do the job.
Definitely. That sounds a good book, though.
It certainly sounds interesting. Bill Burrow said, I'm going to start using a face like Quinton Blake's easel. And people say, what do you mean? He said, well, if you don't know, mate, I'm not going to explain it to you. Never explain, Bill. I think that is certainly
very
the key.
True.
I've got Jude Law's old Audi S8. Oh, no, I haven't got it. He said, but it is for sale on Auto Trader.
Well, thank you very much. Does it say Jude Law's car on Auto
Trader? I don't know.
Trader?
I don't know if it says ring Jude on this number. one of the listeners said, Jude Law's old Audi S8. Okay, well, lovely vehicle, sir. Fully loaded. I imagine it's nice. Just you can't do that one about just use by an old lady to go to and from the shops. Can you really? You can't try that one.
In the great night for Jay Rodriguez at Burnley.
Oh, yeah. He scored all the goals, didn't he?
Scored all the goals, yeah. And Maxwell Cornet, or is it Cornet?
Cornet. He's not Maxwell Cornet.
But it says here, 3 minutes after the hosts fell behind, Rodriguez nodded home a Cornet corner. Brilliant, isn't it?
That would be good. Cornet corner. That's what they've got to do that in the Burnley programme.
Cornet corner.
Cornet corner. That would be good, wouldn't they? Just do a chance for him to do his.
Nickname's got to be 99, though, isn't it?
Do you think so?
Got to be, isn't it?
Yeah, it could be. I can't think of it. Always, one of the boys could call him. It won't make any sense to him, will he? You wonder why they're calling him 99. It would have been good if he'd worn 99 as a shirt number.
Would have been. It works for me.
Would have been good, wouldn't it?
Greg's have brought out a vegan sausage and bacon roll.
Oh, yeah, great news.
Very strange. And, but, of course, nothing can be reported without Twitter being used to validate everything.
Yeah.
One fan tweeted, I've got to hand it to you. I've just tried the new vegan bacon and it's good.
Yeah. Well, this is just saves you time. It's so much easier than wandering around the streets vox popping people, isn't it? Because it's a lazy vox pop. In the past, you'd have to go out. Some poor sap from one of the papers would have to go wandering around, stand outside of Greg's for about 6 hours and say, have you just had the... No. Have you had one? What was it like? Yeah, it was very nice. And then they... But, of course, Twitter allows them to do that from the comfort they're
in. That
office.
Is true. More man-cadding yesterday Craig...
In the county championship.
I'm surprised the ECB haven't called it person-cadding in light of the news
today. Oh, OK.
You've
gone on one of them, have you?
Not really, but, I mean, the thing is... Why don't... no, I've got nothing... I don't have a problem with batter and bat. That's fine. That's fine.
Andy, they haven't called it person cadding because that's not his name.
No. Vino person cad.
Yeah, as you know.
But I think it's about time. That's not my point. My point is that it's about time they allowed this. I do think they should allow
person cadding. They should allow. Do you say they should allow people to basically
do. Run I think it should be legitimate.
The batsman
I think all,
at
know,
the non-striker's end.
All this idea that's we don't play gentlemen versus players anymore.
Well,
do
in
we?
The game yesterday, there was a warning to the batsman that was taking liberties, and then he was man cadded.
Yes,
and then but the appeal was withdrawn, so it didn't actually count. But it was just making a point.
It's annoying that happened to me in a game where our captain withdrew an LBW that was given by the umpire.
Because being the great sportsman you are.
I gave the bloke a send-off.
God, you're a piece of work. You really
wasn't
are.
Good. But even so, you should never have called him back.
Yes.
And he's so posh. That's the point of the posh thing. We don't do send-offs at this club.
I bought a BMW from a car shop, says Yusuf. Found a receipt in the glove compartment tucked away at the back. It was John Parrott's car. You know, I'm an avid snooker fan, and I was curious and researched the address and found it did actually belong to that John Parrott.
Research or stalk?
No, we just... I think you'd be interested if you think, could it have been that John Parrott?
I suppose I might, yeah, I wouldn't be that bothered. But, yeah.
I suppose if there was a queue in the back seat, that would be another way to give it away. Give it away, wouldn't it, really?
Yeah.
Or if Tony Meo was sitting there, I mean, it would be strange. You tend not to buy a car with a snooker player built in, don't you,
no,
really?
Not really, no.
My mate's got the old Ipswich manager George Burley's sofa. Says Mags. Does he know? I mean, should we alert Crime Stoppers? If he wants it back, it's going to cost him this. Ring this number. No, he didn't say that.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Well, there we are. That was this afternoon's show. We'll do it all again tomorrow. Charlie Baker will be with me. Andy, you'll be back with Jeff Peters for the birthday spread.
Yes, yes, all done.
The really. Gag's good? You're pleased with them?
Well, you know.
Well, they're like Sven.
You know, they're so limited, aren't they, really, the quality?
Yeah.
Let's be honest.
So, yes, well, we'll be back and Andy will be joining us. If you can listen, great. If not, podcast available about 4:30.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.